Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Rob Has a Planet, and welcome to the Mr. Survivor post-debate reaction show. I am Mike Bloom. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time, for people who are tuning into this type of show for the first time. If you have tuned in for the first time, we are going to be gauging all of the Mr. Survivor campaigns thus far, including interviews, videos, and of course the debate that wrapped up less than 24 hours ago at this point. But of course I'm not doing it alone. I am joined by two very, very special and extremely talented guests. I'll start with the one and only Jessica Leese. Jess, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. Masterful, you might say. And I'm also joined by the one and only Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm a little starstruck right now. After your big role in last night's debate, I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity.
Yes, like a D-list celebrity. The celebrity who I'm the featured extra who the camera got left on him for too long, and that's why
you're a celebrity in my heart, Mike.
You're the celebrity equivalent of the girl in the blue stripe and belly shirt from the first season of Lost.
Ooh, all right. I will gladly take that role. I had to pinch hit for Rob a little bit during the Miss Survivor debates last night. They were a lot of fun. They were very, very crazy. I have some behind the scenes intel as well, since I was, you know, there to experience the gentleman offline. And it was Tony is just as bombastic as you think he might be off the air as well. So
I can only imagine.
But let's not bury the lead too far here. I want to put the Mr. Survivor discussion away for a little bit, and I'll give my butt first as I do my Julie Chen-esque turn to a non-existent camera. We kind of have some more Miss Survivor news to talk about, guys, because shortly after we recorded this, there was some more hashtag shots fired, and I might be a little blurry on the timeline, but let's see if we can dissect this here. So what I believed happened was, after we recorded this, Kelly recorded a song / video, correct?
It was
something, and I think one of the unspoken people from behind the scenes for this campaign is a man by the name of Tim Allen, aka Shut Up Tim on Twitter. He's a friend of mine from the Tribe Survivor podcast, but he seems like he's almost like the Clive Davis of this campaign. He wrote Kelly's songs. He wrote Tony's song for his video that we'll be talking about in a little bit. He's written a bunch of other songs for RHAP, but he crafted this song for Kelly that's a parody of some sort of rap song. I forget what it is at the moment. Do you guys know what the parody is of?
Do you know what it is, Haley?
I don't. I completely missed this video. I don't know where I've been.
Oh my goodness. All right.
I gotta look this up, because I do know what it is, but I need to see the video itself to remember, because I believe it is Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, I believe it is as well.
I believe the song is Hypnotize.
I'll take your word for it. You'll be our aforementioned West Coast rap expert on this, and not rap expert.
I so many things qualify me for this. The fact that I'm the most Caucasian person in the universe, and the fact that I live on the East Coast, definitely these things qualify me.
Jess, I think the present company you're in, I don't know if you're the most Caucasian person on this panel right now.
But I am the most West Coast, so...
That's true. You're practically tan compared to the rest of us. So I guess I'll describe this video a little bit for both Haley and the uninitiated. So Kelly did this parody of apparently a B.I.G. song, and it was really short. It's like 40 seconds long. And I think she just kind of she really didn't throw that much shade at the other two. I'm forgetting the lyrics, but, like, you know, I think it's just basic things about, like, Kelly is the best. And, you know, they threw in some RHAP references here and there. I'm sure there was, like, a sticky situation reference in there somewhere.
But they're always.
Oh, always, always. But there were a couple lines I remember. I think she said one thing to Natalie, probably about the whole winner conversation. Then she said something to Tasha. And again, I apologize for our listeners out there who I do not have the lyrics in my hand. But I would consider them not that inflammatory, but it appears that Tasha did, because shortly after the video, quote unquote, went viral, Tasha went into a spiral of hate tweets. I'll use the term hate tweets, where she basically was kind of bashing Kelly and talking about all the shade she was throwing. And it was not pretty. This Miss Survivor contest has turned surprisingly catty. And I'm not completely sure how to feel about it. I know this has been talked about amongst some of the commenters throughout the Mr. Survivor campaigns, and it's verbalized in a question from Lisa London that, you know, this will kind of segue into Mr. Survivor a bit, but I think we might want to start off by having a discussion about the tone of these types of things. And I know this is going to sound really hypocritical coming from a podcast on a podcast of a fake Mr. Survivor campaign, but I got to put the question out there. Are these guys taking this too seriously?
Well, I got to be honest. There's a big difference between, like, throwing shade and, like, I'm going nuclear. And I think we might be on the wrong side of the line right about now.
You think we're going nuclear at the moment?
We are getting dangerously close. Like, the threat level is close to midnight.
Threat? Oh, my gosh. I was just going to say a jazz.
Sorry.
Does that make Kelly Agent Michael Skarn?
It's possible.
I don't know, Haley. What do you think? Do you think the competitors are taking this competition way too seriously this year?
I mean, like you said, it's a fine line. Like, we've been really excited so far about how deep these people are getting into the competition, how excited they are. But you're right; it's for fun. You get a really awesome sash and a cool title and some privileges, but I mean, overall, it's Miss Survivor. It's not you're not winning the $1 million here.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think we'll get to a little bit, because I don't think it's specifically inclusive to the women. I think some of the stuff that came up in the debates, depending on how you take it, might be seen as a little personal as well. I think it might also just involve the people who are involved as well. I mean, we talked about it last week. Natalie is quite the fiery personality, and she'll fire back at you, and she won't be afraid to scream at anyone. And Tony's kind of the same way in terms of he'll verbally bulldoze anyone who he wants to attack.
I thought it was actually really nice to see people throwing it back at Tony, because he's not usually in the company of people that can throw it back.
Yeah. I thought Jeremy did a really good job at, you know, keeping up with Tony.
Yeah, we'll dive into that a little bit, but I completely agree, because, I mean, even speaking with Tony a little bit before and after the debates, he definitely kind of, I don't know if he purposely has this habit, but maybe it's just, you know, his the way he speaks or his demeanor. He kind of does have that very fast talking, kind of very aggressive, direct manner of speaking, and it can be tough to get a word in sometimes. I honestly was very grateful that he was able to follow the moderator's instructions as well as he did. I was afraid I was going to have to cut him off after like a 5-minute closing speech, but I would agree. I mean, I think I don't want to say that it's turned ugly. I won't use the term ugly, these campaigns, but it's gotten to an interesting level. And I mean, at this point, we have about, what, like 4 days until the polls close. I don't know what's going to be coming up now in the next 4 days. And I really hope nobody's going to try to pull out any sort of personal insults going forward.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get vicious. I hope people remember that this is a fun competition. It's for fun. It's not, there's no monetary prize at the end of it. Sure, you get lots of pride and recognition, but I mean, is that really worth kind of throwing other people under the bus in a way that you really can't recover from?
Yeah, I don't know that in the end, if you do all that stuff and you get that crown, like, how good is that crown going to feel on your head under the weight of all of the things you've done to get there? Do the ends justify the means?
Heavy is the head that wears the crown this year, apparently.
Indeed.
They'll have to, you know, they paid the way to the crown with blood. But let's in the word, speaking of blood, let's get the bloody on with it, to quote Natalie. And let's dive into our candidates here for Mr. Survivor. So we have competing for the title, our three finalists: Jeremy Collins, 10th placer from Survivor San Juan del Sur; Spencer Bledsoe, 4th placer from Survivor Cagayan; and Tony Vlacos, winner of Survivor Cagayan. So to start, I figured let's do some recaps in general general discussion of the people who the people's interviews and maybe any videos that have come up, anything before the debate, and then we'll dive into general debate discussion afterwards. But let's kick it off with Jeremy here, and I gotta say, in general, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but Jeremy has really, really surprised me with all of. I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I was the biggest Jeremy fan on the season, but he's proved to be a really entertaining force in these campaigns.
I agree. I was kind of disappointed at the fact at first that he was waffling on even participating in the competition. It was kind of depending on Tony. It seemed a little diva-ish, but he's been a lot of fun in the competition. And I think Jeremy has the benefit of being the babyliest contestant in the Mr. Survivor competition.
As in, like, best looking?
Yes, 100%.
All right, Jess, what do you feel? You don't need to bring up which one is the babyliest, but do you feel the same way about Jeremy?
Yeah, I think I was very skeptical at first. I did not think that someone that waffled that much about whether or not he was even going to do it, I didn't think he'd have much to bring. But now I see that he was just debating whether or not he could bring 150% to it. And he certainly has exceeded all of my expectations. And I would even go out on a limb and say he probably is the ding in the ding Mary kill.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I mean, he got 2 out of 3 with the Miss Survivor candidates. So that's, if that shows anything, he's polled 66% of the other candidates. I think that represents the RHAP population pretty well. So Jeremy has kind of really set his campaign up in compared to his opponents of being the middleman. You know, he says, like, Spencer's going to be really committed. Tony is never going to be committed. I'm somewhere in the middle. Jess, what do you think about this platform of, you know, I'm your middleman, I'm the ground between these two, what he calls cartoon characters?
Well, I think he's trying to set himself up as an option for the people that are not casting a vote for a Mr. Survivor so much as against a particular candidate. And it's a strategy that is interesting, but I can't ever fully get behind someone who's going to champion mediocrity in that manner.
Haley, feel the same way?
To a certain extent, he's definitely the great candidate for people who don't want to vote for Spencer just because it's Spencer.
Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. I was trying to figure that out in my head of the logic behind that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, so like people who are kind of over the hipster community of RHAP listeners who don't want to vote for Spencer because he's the typical choice, or just aren't a fan of Tony because of his personality, like Jeremy is the great other option.
Mm-hmm. He's basically, we have previously said that Kelly Wentworth is kind of the Ross Perot of the Miss Survivor pageant, and I would argue that Jeremy is a much better Ross Perot analogy.
But once again, with smaller ears.
Smaller ears.
Or would he be the Ralph Nader?
He could be the Ralph Nader, but I think he's poised to get more votes.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely see that. I partly agree with Haley. I think he could definitely appeal to the hipster community, because I kind of do agree with Haley a little bit. I think, to be all honest, I think there are some people out there that have a little bit of like Spencer fatigue, especially considering the fact that he did, you know, a recap like at this point, like only really a couple months ago. And, you know, he won fan favorite. And there are definitely, obviously, there are big Spencer supporters out there. I mean, he won the fan favorite handily on his season. But there are some people that might be thinking like, oh, you know, I don't want Spencer to become like the big face of this podcast. I want to give someone else some exposure. And Jeremy kind of presents himself as like the I'll say the saner candidate considering the other one.
Yeah, you know, he's still going to be fun. He's going to be a fun interview. He's passionate. He's exciting. You love to hear from him. And I think he's probably a better option for those people, because they know that Tony might not give it all to the RHAP community in a way that Jeremy probably would.
I mean, my crackpot tinfoil hat theory about Tony is that he entered the competition just to troll Spencer.
I could definitely see that. As in, like, he just wanted to go on to just try to bury Spencer as much as he can.
Pretty much, yeah. Just to, like, needle him, keep him on his toes, give him a hard time. And it seems to me that almost everything in Tony's debate was kind of directed at Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things were definitely directed towards Spencer as well. Though Tony, for not really knowing Jeremy, did have some fun cracks at him as well. The Mr. Jazz Club specifically was very Tony in that yes. It was completely out of left field, but it was still hilarious.
It was one of those things like nobody else could have come up with it. And as soon as he said it, of course, it's perfect.
Yeah. And for those of you that may have been only listening along, the reason why Tony called Jeremy Mr. Jazz Club, not to skip too far ahead in the debates, but in the picture that we saw of Jeremy on his video, he had a poster, like a drawn poster of something that said Jazz Club at the bottom. So I think Tony was literally looking around the room and picked something to make fun of. And so he called him Mr. Jazz Club as a result.
So he was just pointing at things in the room and saying he loved them.
Yeah, he's the Brick Tamlin.
Yes.
I love Limp. So Haley, tell me, Jeremy, you know, he paired himself off with Natalie and he gave the promise that it's sort of like a double the trouble, the pleasure, double the fun type of thing. If you vote for him and Natalie, you'll also get Val and Nadia. Did that appease to you or did that turn you off? The idea of if those two won, we'd effectively have four people in office instead of just two.
To be honest, it really did nothing for me in either direction. I'm pretty neutral on that. Do I like Val and Nadia? Sure. Are they the reason for me to vote for either of them? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like nobody cares about the homecoming court.
That's very true. It's you know, nobody cares about the Secretary of the Treasury here and the Mr. and Ms. Survivor Court. It's all about the title roles.
Yeah.
And so what you can, do with those titles.
They can be along all they want, but I don't think it really adds a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. So briefly moving on into Jeremy's talent portion, and I'll put talent portion in quotes here because Jeremy did something. I think I saw it in a gag on All That once where he had like a fake leg and he picked it up. And he held it on the side of his head to make it look like he was stretching his leg all the way up to touch his head. Now, clearly, that was a purely visual talent. I don't know. Did you guys have any sort of reactions to that talent?
I have a bigger reaction to the fact that you just referenced All That. It makes me feel so old.
Oh, come on. We're still spring chickens here.
Maybe you are.
I like to think so.
I was old for that show when it came out.
Mike, are you referencing the first round of All That or the second one with Jamie Lynn Spears?
Classic Coke, All That. We're not talking Jamie Lynn Spears or Danny Tamborelli or when they did like the search for the next All That Kid contest with Taryn Killam. No, we're talking.
Oh my God, that's where Taryn Killam was from.
Yep.
I've been trying to place it for like years.
He was on that. He was also on Mad TV for a while. So he's been.
I think I knew that one.
He's been doing the variety show circuit for a while. Jeremy. Yeah, I mean, it was Haley. Did you have any sort of reaction to his apparent flexibility, or was it kind of another talent for you to shrug off?
I thought it was cute. It definitely took less time than other people's talents, which I kind of appreciate as someone who doesn't have the longest attention span. It was kind of like a visual gag in and out and here we go.
Hey, he had time. He needs to take the time to dress up that fake leg so it looked
authentic. That's true.
Some advanced preparation right there.
He put a shoe on it and everything.
Where did he find a fake leg? That's my cue.
I don't know. Maybe that'll be a question for Jeremy. Maybe he did that thing that what you do with like scarecrows where he just stuffed a bunch of leaves into like a garbage bag and then fit it in a shoe.
Or snow. There's enough of that in Boston.
That's true. He chipped out on the modicum of snow that's outside.
He should have, for his talent, he should have made a snowman of himself.
Oh, I like that. With the six pack.
Yeah, snowpack.
Why y'all so?
That's one babely ass snowman.
Why y'all so snowy? So let's talk a little bit on the firefighter versus cop theme we have going on here, because it was brought up in Jeremy's debate and a little bit of Tony's debate as well, that obviously Jeremy is a firefighter and Tony is a cop. And if Brooklyn Nine-Nine shows us anything, is that firefighters and cops just do not seem to get along. And I gotta say, I love the philosophies that both these guys spout out. We'll get to Tony's in a little bit, but I like how Jeremy says that, like, with criminals, there's a lot of dumb people out there and that fires are unpredictable. So he's in effect saying that fires are smarter than most criminals out there today.
I mean, that's fair.
I'm putting money down. I'm putting money down on the fire.
So if we're betting on which will do bigger damage, a criminal or a fire?
Yeah, I'm putting money down on fire over criminal.
I hear that's the theme for Survivor 33.
Fire versus criminals.
Fire versus criminals.
Fire.
We already saw fire compete in Survivor Australia, and we know who won that battle.
That's very true.
Also, did pretty well in Survivor Amazon.
Oh, it's real dry. That's real dry, Jess.
So it was just firewood.
How'd you guys like Jeremy? So Jeremy's called Spencer and Tony cartoon characters, obviously. He specifically compared them to, which do you guys like better, Ren and Stimpy or Tom and Jerry? Or did you have another cartoon comparison that you think would work better?
Cat dog.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a 90s Nickelodeon theme version.
We're all up in the 90s today.
Oh, my God. I love it. I would kind of compare it to Fred and Barney Rubble.
Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, that's a good one. So hopefully Jeremy will be the person that's will be Bart Simpson watching it from the television and just watch the other two kill each other off. So he'll take the title.
Exactly. I think that's where we're going with it.
All right. You guys have anything else on Jeremy in general, or should we move on to the young lad?
I'm going to give Jeremy one final props for, because we're segueing into the young lad. I'm giving Jeremy props for the brevity of his talent segment.
That is very true. And I'll give props to Jeremy and Tony that in comparison to Spencer's talent, their talents each lasted maybe like 30 seconds each. And honestly, I feel like that's kind of the sweet spot. I know as much as we touted Tasha's talent last time, that was kind of long as well. I feel like when you're going like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, that's pretty darn long. You want to go like 1 to 2 minutes at best.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's segue here into Spencer. Now, I'd be remiss if I did not start by talking about Spencer's various campaign videos. So the first one he made was, I believe, even before his interview. I think it was like almost right after, a few days after the final three were announced for Mr. Survivor. And it is almost like a shot for shot redo of the famous Vetus Yoga Vimeo video. I don't know if either of you guys had seen it, but did you have any sort of reactions to the comparison between the two?
Well, I think he's pandering to his audience just a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is that a good or a bad thing, Jess?
I think it's a wonderful thing, but I understand that other people's mileage may vary.
Yeah, so
right, like some people might find it disingenuous.
Yeah, and I think, again, I know we kind of beat the dead horse a little bit when we talked about Kelly, this with Kelly last time, but let's, you know, we have the sticks, let's keep being the pandering horse here. I think there definitely might be a point behind it, too. You know, I think Spencer, maybe even more than Kelly, threw a lot of RHAP references into both his interview, his talent, his debate. Not to say he still didn't do a great job, but I will admit that sometimes they kind of popped out of nowhere and seemed random. When, you know, I think the ideal thing with an RHAP reference is to try to have it tie back in to what you're talking about.
Yeah, and we want to see some original material as well. Like, we want to hear what you would bring to the podcast. You like what the new, fresh things you would bring, and not just recycle the things that we've heard on the soundboard, you know, how many times?
Yeah, there's only so far you can go with just giving our material back to us.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, you know, when you're, they always say when you're teaching someone that, there's a lot of teaching these days that's basically through regurgitation. It's like, okay, here's the information, look it over, memorize it, put it on the test, but then they'll completely forget about it. This almost seems like regurgitation, not necessarily education. I know that's a very thin line to connect the two, but, that being said, I mean, you still have to give this guy credit for, I mean, this is a fantastic piece of production.
100%. Like, the fact that he got so creative with it, like, he's got to get the props he deserves, and we're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
And I really have to give him props for, I have said this before, but, you know, there have been people in the past that have campaigned very hard to be Mr. or Ms. Survivor. And I think that Spencer has not only gone the extra mile in the campaigning department, he may well be the very first contestant who went on Survivor specifically so that he could run for Mr. Survivor.
Do you think that is that I know Rob, I think, like, brought it up. I don't know if he brought it up tongue in cheek. Do you think that's actually it?
I don't think that's literally it, but I do think here is someone that hasn't just been throwing RHAP references at us during the campaign. His bio on CBS.com was riddled with them.
That's true. That's true. Sorry, Haley, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I also just feel like he's the most likely to fulfill his campaign promises. We've kind of heard in the past that Tony's not totally interested in talking about Survivor when Tony's not on Survivor. So I don't know how likely he will be to actually follow through on, you know, coming on podcasts and that. Like, he's a busy guy. He's a new father. And, like, that's completely understandable.
And to be perfectly fair, we have been burned by Mr. Survivor before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting because I think a big crux of a lot of people's arguments with Mr. Miss Survivor is that they want someone who is active in the RHAP community. I wonder, you know, if we track through the history of Mr. Miss Survivor, all, you know, 3-4 years of it. I mean, that didn't used to be a thing. I mean, Parvati barely appeared on the podcast after she won before she had to crown RC as the next Miss Survivor. Maybe it was sometime when RC got crowned and then we got burned and made people want to have someone who's active more. But it's really interesting that, like, when we began this contest, it really wasn't about who's going to come on and do the most podcasts. It was more about, like, who would embody the whole role of Miss Survivor best. But because the community has grown larger and because they're doing this every year, I think it's kind of warped to now be like, okay, we want to see this person semi-occasionally on the podcast.
Well, and another thing that has happened over the course of those years, I think it is fair to say that back when we did the very first Miss Survivor competition, the survivors themselves didn't get as invested in RHAP. Like, it wasn't really a blip on anybody's radar the way that it is now, the way that people are almost expected to engage with RHAP at some point during their season.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So, I mean, it's also noteworthy to say, aside from the fantastic production quality and clearly all the great effort that went into this video, I believe this was the first ever big campaign video for Mr. Survivor. And I believe Spencer kind of broke the mold here a little bit. I think we talked a little bit last time about how, you know, this contest is always revolutionizing itself. RC was the one that kind of showed how important it was to really campaign and utilize social media. And I think now it's a little bit like Andy Samberg in the digital shorts with The Lonely Island in terms of, like, on SNL, in terms of, like, this might be, like, a must-do now for everyone who wants to run for Mr. and Miss Survivor in the future. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same way? How important do you think videos are going to be in the future?
It's not necessarily videos, I think, that are going to be important in future campaigns. I think it's going to be new creative ways to engage the audience. And a video just happened to work for Spencer. It might not work in the future if it doesn't seem as genuine.
Yeah, if it just becomes another stop on the campaign trail, I think it will be a lot less special.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And maybe, who knows? I mean, I might be predicting the future here, but then it might become like an oversaturated market where, you know, everyone's making videos every day to put up and we're having, you know, vlogs every other day of people on their Miss Survivor campaign trail. And then people will get tired of it and then it'll cycle through to when not making a video will help you win. So it'll I think Spencer is. I agree with you, Haley. I think he's definitely paved a new way to just campaign in general, which is fun because this is an ever evolving competition. So let's talk some Gilmore Girls, guys, because this is one of Spencer's biggest promises. I think his platform purely exists on the notion of, like, listen, you know, I'm going to be committed. I will be committed 100%. And he has brought up several times, both, you know, he's brought it up in his recap podcast, he brought it up in his interview and in the debates as well, though Tony confused that with Happy Gilmore. He brought up the idea of doing a one-off Gilmore Girls podcast for post-show recaps. Now, I don't know if either one of you are interested in it, but I think it begs the question further of, like, how do you guys feel about Mr. and Miss Survivor contestants making these promises to come on and do other podcasts that are non-Survivor? I'll start with Jess first.
Well, I think I am in favor of this becoming something that Mr. and Miss Survivor have to do. Like, I started kind of needling Natalie and Kelly about this because I know that they are both Amazing Race fans to varying degrees. And it's like, if you're Miss Survivor, I'm going to want you on the podcast. And I'm going to say that this is partially Haley's fault for getting this going.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Haley. And I think it should be a necessity. I think you should need to not only show up to talk about Survivor, but you're representing the whole RHAP community. And that means finding creative ways to engage with them that don't necessarily involve the show that you were just on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Haley, what do you think?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I've never been into Gilmore Girls. I think it was a little before my time, and I just do not have the time.
It wasn't on Nickelodeon, so that's fair.
We don't get Nickelodeon in Canada.
What were you watching on then? Like CTV?
We had Teletoon and we had Family Channel. So So I feel like YTV was the Nickelodeon and Family was the Disney. I digress.
Wait, what was the show Ren and Stimpy? I remember that.
Yeah, that was on. Oh, that one's on Teletoon. Wait, what was the point I was going to make?
I don't know. Sorry, I got you sidetracked in the 90s.
It is not hard. Oh,
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, so I probably wouldn't be interested in the Gilmore Girls podcast personally, but I know a lot of people that would. And I think it's, like you guys said, it's important to get involved in the community in different ways. And so, you know, Jeremy might not watch many other shows than Survivor, but it would be fun to have him on a sports podcast with Rob. They do the fantasy draft every year. If he participated in the fantasy league, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, again, you know, we're talking about these constantly shifting molds of Mr. and Miss Survivor. I think this is another key thing, aside from the video production, that might change with the campaigns now, or especially if Spencer wins and is successful in this Gilmore Girls podcast, is the idea of, like, well, you can come on and talk about things that are not Survivor. I mean, I think maybe one of the things that kind of led Tony away from RHAP in general, aside from being a new father, was I think he grew fatigued with Survivor, as I think any one of these candidates might become fatigued about going on and constantly talking about Survivor. But I think if they have other things to talk about, like, you know, Malcolm came on to talk about wayfaring, or, you know, other people have come on to talk about other projects. We have the Spicin' Hour every week and people really enjoy that. I think the more we can utilize these people in roles that are not specific to Survivor, I think the bigger the repertoire Rob will have of guests to bring on and talk about anything, and B, I think the more enjoyment they'll get out of the podcast in general.
Oh, I completely agree. It will be more fun for them if they get to talk about something that really does interest them other than Survivor, because they could get tiring after a while. And if they are able to talk about another show that they just love that they don't have an opportunity to talk about, then that's awesome. And if they want to contact any of us to do it, or if, you know, we can reach out to them and they're interested, then, like, that's fantastic. That's a win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah, let's build the bridge now between RHAP co-hosts and former reality show contestants.
And, you know, it doesn't hurt if they suck our kneecaps a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
We love compliments.
Oh, you're so nice when you say that. let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl bet, because this is another thing that kind of happened offline, you know, before any of this stuff happened. Spencer, or someone from Spencer's account, as he claimed, made a tweet that, you know, if New England wins the Super Bowl, I will give everyone who retweets this $10. And I do not remember how many times it got retweeted, but it got retweeted a fair number of times. I believe he gave a figure of, like, I think he owed like $2,500 overall.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So I guess I'll call this a two-part question. A, do you think it was a sleepover, or do you think he really did it? B, how do you feel about, you know, the fact that he did it, and B, the fact that he decided to pay his debt in full and has apparently started to directly message people to reach out to them to repay his debt. I'll start with Haley.
It didn't really sound like him, so I can kind of see where the sleepover theory might come from. I think if it was him, that was a really stupid bet to make. Now, Mike, I know you're not totally up in the sports world. This was a very even Super Bowl going into it, and I think definitively choosing one team over the other and making kind of like a lofty bet like that was just a bad move on Spencer's part. But the fact that he's following through and actually paying off his debts, that's a really good move on his part. That's good PR.
Jess?
Yeah, I think it bodes well for his ability to honor commitments. If we're seeing him like pay $2,500 out of his own pocket to honor something stupid that he tweeted, imagine how he's going to do with all the promises he has made for something that's higher stakes like Mr. Survivor.
And especially considering that this kid also just graduated college, and I use the kid term in a very, very positive
way. Yeah, he's like a year younger than you, Mike.
I know. I just feel like I feel more wisened about the world than Spencer, but he'll learn not to make Super Bowl bets.
I'm allowed to call him a kid.
All right, my peer Spencer. I love my peer Spencer. It seems like he's, he just left school. He's in between school and a job right now, so I don't know exactly how much money is coming his way at the moment. So the fact that he's also committing to this when the cash flow isn't exactly secure, I think, speaks even more about his character.
Well, he might have Survivor money.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know what they pay the third runner-up, but it's probably...
It's not $0.
It's not zero. It's probably significantly more than $2,500.
It probably pays them with the leftover food from all the rewards that haven't been eaten yet.
Here's some soggy week-old pizza.
Ew.
Thanks for being on Survivor.
I'd probably still eat it. Let's be serious.
Yeah, any port in a storm. So let's move on here to... Spencer's talent. Spencer did a cavalcade of Survivor impressions for his talent that ended up going on for 5 minutes. And I will say, in general, I'll have to mimic what I said about Kelly's talent, which is a 10 for the idea, about a 5 for the execution, if I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it was cute. But it went on way too long. If he would have kept it down to a couple impressions, maybe even just a Tony impression, that like a reading in Tony's voice of a campfire chat, that would have been a lot better. If Rob accidentally interrupts you thinking that your talent's over and then you continue on for 3 other minutes, like not the best move he could have made.
Yeah, I think if he had just even cut out anything to do with anybody else named Rob, it would have been much less confusing. Rob wouldn't have jumped in on it. And he could have closed out with his fairly credible Rob Has a Podcast impression.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since some of the impressions were just not good, and it was hard to follow sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Lisa Linares, it's like, who really knows her voice?
So I listened to his talent earlier today, and I tried to take down everyone that I thought he did an impression of. So I'll read the list off, and you guys let me know if you were confused by any or if you thought I might be missing any. But obviously he started off with Russell Hance. That was pretty good. He segued into Rupert and then went right into Boston Rob from there. Then he went into the Jeff Probst impression, which that was when it got confusing, as we talked about before, about how he asked Rob, but he meant Boston Rob, a question. But Rob Cesternino thought he was asking him a question where he was trying to engage in some sort of, I don't know, improv dialogue. And Rob tried to respond, but then he kept going. This is one that I think he was doing was Trish. With the whole line about like she saw Tony snort a pizza down his throat or something like that. I think that was Trish. The aforementioned Lisi impression, which in all honesty was not a Lisi impression. I think he was just quoting a couple lines from Tidy Whitey's, and that was about it, but he admitted that it wasn't a good impression after the fact. He threw a little Jeremy in there. He threw a little Tony in there. And then, as you said, he ended up going into Rob Cesternino himself. And then later on in the debate, he ended up doing a little bit of Woo, which was fine. So do you guys want to give any highlights, which impressions worked, which didn't, which do you think he should have done?
I actually kind of liked his Jeff Probst impression. I thought that was good. But like I said, he should have just done a Tony impression.
I thought his Rupert impression was gold, and it's not one you don't hear people break that out as often as you would think.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Haley. I like the specifically the cadence of the Probst impression about how mm-hmm. like Probst, he barks everything and he kind of talks with an upglide at the end. Like he's as if he's always, you know, screaming like that one Will Ferrell character
with what is it? Voice modulation.
Yeah,
voice.
Exactly. I thought his Rupert was pretty good as well, though it kind of waned for me a little bit. Just because I think the growl is hard for anyone to do for a long time.
It hurts.
Yeah. He just ended up sounding like Cookie Monster.
Exactly. He did kind of end up sounding like Cookie Monster, but I'm glad he brought him back. The one impression that I was surprised he didn't do, which he did on the recap podcast, I believe, was Jonathan Penner. And I think I only remember that because I told him that his Jonathan Penner sounded like Barack Obama.
I think a Penner impression is especially hard to do when you're doing it for the master.
Yeah, that's very true.
But I would have felt the same way about a Boston Rob impression. Like, that's been done to death. Don't break it out in front of the person that invented it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I would say on the famous impersonators spectrum, I would put Spencer somewhere between Dana Carvey and Adam Sandler. I think Adam Sandler does far worse voices than Spencer does. So Spencer at least has that going.
I can't even remember one credible celebrity impression that Adam Sandler has ever done.
Oh, I'm just talking about voices in general at this point.
Well, Adam Sandler has one voice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
That was Spencer's talent. And I think I talked about before that he went for it, which was admirable, but it was a little bit of a swing and a miss. Do you guys agree with that?
100%.
Yeah, third place in the talent competition, taking home the bronze.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he made up for it in other ways, though, because we'll now talk about he as he promised, he came up with a couple of other videos after his interview. There was the one that I mentioned last week with Tasha, which was like literally 30 seconds about them parodying the Missy and Baylor, the we'll just show up birthday party thing. And we could talk a little bit about that in the debates, because I believe a question was asked about that. But I don't know if you guys saw this, but Spencer came out with what seemed to be his crowning achievement, his tour de force, his supposedly final campaign film before the polls close.
I saw it on Twitter today, I believe, but I didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, I did not see this either.
All right, let me describe it for you then, guys. So this is it's not too much of Spencer. There's a little bit of a montage of Spencer at the beginning. I know this because I literally just watched it before we started recording, and he's talking about how he's just giving a basic montage over like some several shots of him in Survivor, and then we get to the endorsements, and but the first endorsement we get is we get this voiceover of someone that we think is Spencer the entire time, but first RHAP reference of the video, it turns out to be Jordan Kalish,
of course.
Don't
you mean Jordan Kalish?
I'll pity the kid. I don't think he's a kid, but
pity the fool.
I pity the fool who mispronounces his name. I will give him the benefit and call him that, Kalish for once, so he can at least hear someone pronounce it right the first time on the podcast. So it cut to Jordan Kalish. That was also the first time I think anyone had seen Jordan Kalish on camera, which was interesting. And then he went right into the endorsements. He got an endorsement from Alexis Maxwell of Survivor Cagayan. He got one. He called Jatia on the phone, on speakerphone, and asked.
He's got Fishy on here.
Yep, he had Fishback on there to bring up saying like I've had naysayers, and it cuts to a shot of Fishback saying like Spencer can't win. I think something very vague about that. And he has a shot of calling Jatia on the phone and saying, like, I never got the election package that you sent me. He has the Jeremiah sound clip, which ends up coming up later or earlier in the debate as something that kind of one of the various visual items in the debate that became a cog in the machine. And he gets endorsements from the first two Survivor winners.
Whoa.
Richard Hatch and Tina Wesson both have videos saying, "I endorse Spencer Bledsoe for Mr. Survivor 2015.
And none of these people can orient their phones the right way.
Nope. They're all doing the vertical. And the other fun little sighting is that he actually is able to get Kurt Clark, the tabulator, on the street to ask him if he will endorse him. And Kurt gives a hilarious hell no. It's good to see some RHAP faces on there. But I mean, I was honestly kind of blown away that he was able to get in contact with both Richard and Tina.
For him.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, this again, this is really his tour de force. As much of a great production as the first video was, I feel like this was and I know we throw this term around a lot nowadays, but it really was something epic.
I'm impressed by this. I have to give it to him. He really wants this.
Yeah, and he's,
and if it comes down to, as Jeff Probst says, who wants it more? Spencer wins.
I think I completely agree with that. As much as some people are kind of over Spencer, he's clearly trying the hardest, and not just like trying the hardest, but like doing some cool stuff to show how bad he wants it.
Yeah. See, this is a great example of kind of what we talked about before with the pandering of, like, this is not him just regurgitating references to us saying, like, oh yeah, I listened to that podcast where that meme was brought up. He actually was able to, like, incorporate it and use it creatively. The Jordan Kalish one was definitely a highlight for me, both in the fact that, you know, it was brought up, and, you know, the fact that he most likely contacted Jordan and, like, asked him to do this. So the amount of effort he put into this is something ridiculous. So he must be commended for that.
Definitely.
All right. Should we, are we all done with Spencer? Should we move on to the construction worker?
Let's do it.
All right.
Alrighty.
So this is Tony, and you know, Tony is Tony. I think I know, I personally had forgotten his demeanor, his timbre, his cadence, all of his vocal tics until I heard that voice once again on the air. And then I was brought right back to Cagayan. But Tony, as expected, has some very fiery words. So I'll start with this Tasha relationship, because this gets brought up a little bit after the Mr. Survivor debates as well. I believe he sent a kind of a personal tweet to Tasha as well. I mean, Tasha and Tony, or at least Tony does not seem to really like Tasha. I'll just put it out there. I don't know if it solely revolves around the idea of she didn't vote for him. I know she has said that she didn't vote for him for some possibly sexist comments that he made to her. But it seems like Tony seems to be kind of taking that one vote hard, to the point where he says, you know, I want anyone to win but Tasha. What are you guys thinking of this possibly one-sided Tony Tasha rivalry?
Tony, you won the $1 million. Like, what's the point of holding this grudge?
Yeah, it seems kind of petty.
Yeah, especially...
And this competition is already petty enough.
Considering,
yeah, that, these are grown-ass people. Like, these are human adults.
This also happened... These are also events that happened, like, almost a year and a half ago at this point, you know? Like, there's... To quote, you know, Bubba from Survivor Vanuatu, you gotta build a bridge and get over it, man. Otherwise, and I saw these comments a couple times. Tony came off as a little bitter, I gotta say, which again, as you said, Haley, is really hard to see considering that he won. I know people want the perfect win, and, you know, it goes great on the Survivor report card and everything. But man, he killed Wu in that jury. He has $1 million. He has a life he always wanted. I don't think he needs to hold a grudge here, especially in a competition like Miss Survivor, where he's like, well, I definitely don't want her to win because of something she did to me, you know, like 500 plus days ago.
And it kind of soured me from the beginning when he immediately said no to being in the competition, and then he said yes later. So that just comes off as really wishy-washy to me. And it's like, will he be able to, like, is he actually going to fulfill the promises? And like Jessica said, we've been burned before with Mr. Survivor competition, and it's like, we don't want that to happen again. And what's to say that Tony won't do that? What's to say that Tony won't pull out of this kind of thing? I mean, he has two kids. He must be an expert at it.
Yeah, that's very true. And you bring up a good point about, like, you know, after almost immediately after the finalists were announced, Tony made that public tweet where he said, like, I'm pulling out. I'm fully supporting Spencer. And then he completely flips on it and does it again. And I mean, I think that's what people kind of love about Tony, is his sort of flippant personality. But that might not be the most
ideal.
But
it gets old.
Yeah. And it might be not the most ideal thing you want to see in a candidate.
And it almost felt like he wanted a bunch of people to be like, oh my God, Tony, you have to be in the competition. We love you. It won't be the same without you. And enough people
exactly.
did that. And he's like, oh, all right, if I must serve my public. It was a little bit like, it's a little needy for a guy with $1 million, you know?
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, that's Tony. And I think that's what everyone knew they were getting into when I'm sure some people did actually reach out to Tony, and Spencer included, to try to get him in this competition. I mean, that being said, I mean, he's entertaining as always. He is a fantastic Survivor character, and he's just, you know, I guess I know from personal experience now, he's just a very, very fun person to talk to, just because he is always spouting off his mouth, which can be a lot of fun. And, you know, we got some good sound bites on this interview as well. The really interesting thing is that, so Tony's platform seems to be the most vague out of the three. He's really just like, I'll do what the fans do. And I wonder if that connects back to what you were saying, Haley, about, like, I think he's aware of the fact that he can't really commit to much at the moment, and he doesn't really want to commit to much at the moment. So if he says, I'll do what the fans do, that way he kind of has that excuse of going away for a while, and only when a bunch of people say, Tony, come and do this, he'll go and do it.
Yeah, and like, that's not really what I want from my Mr. Survivor. I want them to be committed, and like, I understand that he has a real life and he has kids and a wife and stuff like that, but it's like, I mean, what's an hour every couple months?
Yeah, that's very true. Again, I think people have varying expectations of how often Mr. Survivor should appear on the podcast, but I think he definitely has the time to, you know, I mean, Andrea appeared on the, granted, she appeared on the finalist show, or the countdown show a few weeks ago. But other than that, she only really appeared in like two podcasts throughout the entire year she was Miss Survivor. So there's really a very low bar that's being set right now.
A couple of tweets, a podcast or two, and a couple Instagram photos, and we'll be completely satisfied.
Yeah.
And like, anything above that is going to be a pleasant surprise. But I have to say that I want my Mr. Survivor to take initiative. And I see Tony being like reactionary. He might do things if we ask him to, but you know that Spencer, and even to some degree Jeremy, are going to volunteer things. They're not going to respond to what the fans want.
It almost
feels like Mr. Survivor to Tony is just another notch in his belt.
And
we said the same thing about Natalie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they both made the same point, too, about how, you know, they're both winners, and they think that the winner deserves to win the Mr. Survivor title. And I know I think we touched upon it with Natalie, but I think we're all in agreement that that doesn't, they're not one and the same. One does not necessarily constitute the other. I think Survivor placement and Survivor game can definitely contribute to making your way to the finals and, you know, having a good reputation amongst the Survivor community. But this is the time where you really should get to work and, you know, really put yourself out there and, you know, really show off your personality. And Spencer and Jeremy really went the extra mile in doing so. Tony, maybe not so much.
I feel like Tony rested on his laurels a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys did you guys listen to the Tony song at any point over the past week or so?
No.
Song?
So this is another Tim Allen production. It's again very short. It's a parody of Rockin' Robin. Actually, Tony doesn't perform it at all. It's just about Tony. Tony doesn't even speak in it.
Was it released by like Tony's campaign?
I think it was released by Tim and saying this is like a video for Tony.
Okay, does this violate like whatever Rob has a podcast equivalent of the McCain-Feingold Act is in place? Like, Tony doesn't come on saying he approves the message.
I'm not sure. We might have to get Antonio Mazzaro here to talk about the legality of the Mr. and Miss Survivor campaign rules. But I believe Tony, like, retweeted it or, like, tweeted out the link. So I think he stood behind it and he might have virtually approved the message. I don't think they got a soundbite of him, like, actually approving the message. But it was just a very quick parody. And I mean, they made a few Survivor Cagayan references, but nothing, maybe unlike the Kelly video, nothing that was really could be really taken as throwing shade at anybody. It just seemed quick. And it was probably just something probably, again, as you said, he's very reactionary. So maybe it was because they saw Spencer was doing it and because Tasha and Kelly were doing it, too. He might as well do it as well, though. Again, he really wasn't involved in the video whatsoever. So let's get a little bit into some of Tony's interview stuff here. Let's talk about his talent a little bit. And again, I have to put talent in quotes here because Tony did some nice uncle party tricks here with the old let me remove my finger. Here's my magic trick. Yeah,
that is exactly the level of seriousness that I want in a Mr. Survivor talent. I'm just throwing it out there.
So, like, you know, just kind of like I'm doing a. So you'd rather see that than like the cavalcade of impressions or rap songs or choreographed dances and everything like that?
Yeah. I want to see something. I want to see a stupid human trick. That's what I want out of the talent competition.
Perfect. Tony is your man.
I thought he won the talent competition.
Did you enjoy his animal impersonations as well that went with the magic trick?
Yes, I did.
He was like a Dr. Doolittle almost.
It really is. Like, it was kind of Michael Winslow-esque.
I'd say so.
Close your eyes and you're at the zoo.
And I mean, it was great hearing that llama sound live again. I think he got like a soundbite of it when Rob interviewed him during the finale of Cagayan, but we really hadn't heard it for a long time. So it was music to my ears.
Yeah. I could listen to that llama sound all day.
See, I have the opposite take on that. And this might be an unpopular opinion, but I can't stand the llama sound. I can't stand it.
Oh boy. Oh, Haley.
I know. I'm sorry.
Some people just don't get ruiner. It.
I know. I just don't like loud, repetitive noises, and that's kind of what the llama sound is.
Such a Canadian.
I know.
I love loud, repetitive noises.
Jessica and I both live in New York City, yeah. The land of loud, repetitive noises.
In quiet, rural Canada, it's just not something we have to worry about.
Yeah, but your donuts are better. So you
ain't
got
that the truth.
You win some, you lose some.
There's a Tim Hortons, like, right or so.
Right where?
Right outside of Times Square.
Oh,
yeah, but
yeah,
it's serviced by some American donut company. Those aren't genuine Timmy Ho's donuts.
But are there Timbits?
There are Timbits, but they taste exactly like Munchkins. Yeah. Like, what is the point?
So they're being slung by, you know, some loud, obnoxious American workers, not nice, nice, polite, you know, poised Canadian workers.
Yeah, they're made with high fructose corn syrup.
So let's segue here into Tony's sleepover. So Tony was given a hypothetical situation of if he could bring three survivors to a sleepover, what would it be? And Tony, in true Tony fashion, made it the most entertainingly creepy answer I think I've heard on a question thus far. And I'll try to quote it as best I can. So the three he picked would be Malcolm, so I can scalp him.
Ew.
Cochran, so I can drain that intelligence juice out of his brain while he sleeps. And Spencer, so I can suck the youth out of him.
Okay, this just sounds like it's going to turn into the Human Centipede 3, so I would tell all three gentlemen to avoid Tony at all costs.
Yeah, do not attend a sleepover at Tony's house.
I just love how unintentionally malicious it was. Like, I want to bring these three men here so I can feast upon the qualities I enjoy. Maybe I'll have their brains with fava beans and a nice Chianti. Oh, man. It
took a turn for the dark.
It absolutely did. But it's, I mean, that's true Tony fashion. He's going to shoot from the hip no matter what. All right. Do you guys have any other debate or interview points, or should we move into the debate discussion itself?
We've been talking for an hour and we haven't talked about the debate.
I know. I think it just goes to show how, I mean, these three Mr. Survivors in particular have been very, very entertaining, to say the least.
That's true. That's very true.
All right. So I'll go over some highlights here from the debate. So let's talk about Tony's bag of tricks first. So Tony had his yellow bag of tricks from Survivor Kageyan around his neck the entire night. He only used it once at the end, and maybe I think this was blocked because of the video malfunction. He was pulling out like pieces of parchment and like apparently a memo that Jeff Probst wrote to him. I don't know how many letters Jeff Probst is writing to people at this point, but it seems like everyone's getting one between him and Spencer. What did you guys think about the whole bag of tricks motif, and do you think he used it effectively?
No, I thought it was a bit of a CT. I didn't like that he just kept referring to it, but didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah, it was like when he couldn't think of something to talk about, he'd just go back to the bag of tricks.
Yeah,
is the very definition of what a bag of tricks is, but still.
Yeah, he even brought that up in his interview, because I was, again, listening to his interview earlier today to prepare for this. He was like, oh, yeah, I have my bag of tricks, and I have something really special saved up. So we'll talk about TextGate in a bit, but I don't know if he had this text idea saved up from, like, his interview, but he was really foreshadowing his stuff even as far back as, like, 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, I think he might have, when he dropped that into the conversation, he might have thought, well, I told them I had a bag of tricks. I might need to go get a literal bag of tricks.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, speaking more generally about the debate here, and, you know, as much as Spencer impressed me with, you know, everything he's done to prepare for the campaign and even in his interviews and stuff, I'll be honest, I think he kind of got steamrolled here in the debates. What do you guys think?
I agree. Yeah, I feel like he kind of completely got lost in the firecrackers that are Tony and Jeremy. And Jeremy and Tony fed really well off each other. They had a lot of fun, and it just didn't seem like Spencer could quite keep up with it. He couldn't really get a word in edgewise, and he was just always a couple steps behind.
Yeah, and I'll try to throw some behind the scenes intel in there. I think part of that definitely might come from a preparedness factor right before the show. Tony and Jeremy were there probably like a few minutes before the debate got started, so they were able to like banter off each other, and we were kind of hanging out waiting for Spencer. Spencer literally rushed home, rushed on, and then we immediately jumped into the debate because Rob had to end up leaving halfway through. So I think that might have not helped Spencer's case, the fact that he probably ran home and immediately sat down on the computer. He couldn't really gather his thoughts or anything. It was a little bit like, you know, the Nixon Kennedy famous debate where it was televised and Nixon was like flop sweating, whereas Kennedy was looking completely golden. I won't say anyone looked completely golden in this debate, but you can kind of see the flop sweat a little bit on Spencer's brow.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because, well, you know, the other thing they say about the Nixon Kennedy debates is that people that watched it on television thought that Kennedy was the clear winner, but people that listened to it on the radio thought that Nixon was either close or won.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like the audio version might take away a different impression than the video version on this case?
Having listened only to the audio version, I didn't watch any of the video, and my impression was he still struggled to get a word in edgewise, but when he did speak, he sounded articulate.
I would agree with that. And again, I mean, if you watch the video, you'll get to, you know, TextGate was the one revealing thing. Otherwise, it was unfortunately a 15-minute close up on my face. So unless
you mean fortunately.
Fortunately, again, Haley, you are my strongest backer.
All the Mike Bloom fangirls were having a great night.
Yep. My fiance and my mom, they were having a great time. That's the Mike Bloom fangirl club. I would say Spencer made great points, and I agree with that. I think like in terms of point by point, I think he stayed in line. I think it was just tough that, you know, we talked about this before. Tony kind of tends to verbally steamroll people, and I think Jeremy had enough of a boisterous voice that he was able to kind of keep up. Spencer kind of got bogged down sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, Jeremy is really quick.
He really is.
I think my favorite moment, and I don't even know why I laughed so hard, but there's a point where Tony said that he hadn't done a whole lot of research on the podcast or on the show, but he was still holding his own in the debate, and Jeremy just fires back, "No, you're not."
He was a lot of fun. Like, even even if you just have like as a foil, as Tony's foil, it was just, it was a different dynamic. Cause we've seen the Tony Spencer dynamic. But this was a new one and I liked it.
And I think Tony really enjoyed it too. I mean, he was laughing along with Jeremy as well. The two of them actually struck up kind of a great rapport, which was something I did not expect at all, considering that a week ago, Tony said, "Who's Jeremy?" Let's talk a little bit about this one question. What twist for a future season would you pitch to Mark Burnett to make it better? And I'd be intrigued to know from you guys what you think your favorite answer was. To give a quick recap, Spencer gave the twist of having a tribe swap right before the first immunity challenge, so the people all get to know each other on their tribes and then immediately swap them. Jeremy pitched his own all-star season or of returning players, it either being a pre-jury versus jury or like a winners versus a first boots. And Tony kind of did a take off on the Samoa and China kidnapping stuff of the like every reward challenge or every other reward challenge that the tribes will vote someone onto the other tribe. Which one did you guys think would work best in terms of Survivor? We'll start with Haley. Yeah.
This was probably the hardest question to answer on the fly. And I think Tony really benefited from being the last one to answer it. But I would say Tony had the best answer.
Jess, what do you think?
Yeah, I could agree with that. I thought his made the most sense anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed I actually enjoyed all of the twists on the whole. I would tweak Spencer's personally to say instead of being the tribe swap before the first IC, have them all be, you know, like a Survivor Palau thing, have them all be Fiji, have them all be on one tribe, then divide into two tribes at the immunity challenge, and then you can like switch them around every so often. I think that's a fun one, but I agree. I would say Tony's might be my favorite just because, and I think there was a little bit of confusion in rules where some people were thinking that like you're voting people out then, but I like the idea of like, you know, kind of like The Apprentice, like you send your weakest player over to the other tribe. So they're still in the game and there's still drama to harbor, which, you know, always equals ratings. I think it's a fun twist. And I don't know how much Mark Burnett and Jeff Probst are attuned to the Miss and Mr. Survivor competition. But if they have their ear to the line, I think it's a good idea for them to take into practice.
Well, apparently they are. Everybody over there at the CBS brass is quite supportive of Rob's efforts. Like that is what I heard from the man himself tonight. So who knows, maybe he passed on an idea or two.
Maybe we'll get more previous contestants on to podcast with us now if the Spencer initiative goes through.
Now I would be down with that.
Would you podcast with Big Jeff?
Oh dear.
Harry Potter podcast with Big Jeff?
Well, you know, he does ostensibly know something about The Amazing Race.
That's very true. So let's move into the sound bites, and I'll say on the whole, these sound bites were not nearly as good as the ones that the Miss Survivor contestants provided, in that they were also a little confusing as well. I think some of them had a very long sound bite. Some of them brought up previous other sound bites to use. I'll list them off, and then I'll have you guys answer which one was your favorite. So Spencer started by actually just bringing up, you know, I don't think he got the idea that it would be something he would say. I think he brought up like other sounds from previous podcasts to use, again showing off his RHAP knowledge. I believe he brought up the moment when Nicole was caught like looking up pizza Groupon prices during a podcast and like
her
stuttering response, but then once he realized that it was supposed to be something that he said, I think he said I think he gave like Spencer Bledsoe, the Mr. Survivor who doesn't suck. Jeremy gave an entire sentence of, you got Tony over here, you got Spencer over here, they're like two cartoon characters. And Tony might have done a little bit of copyright infringement there. He gave the term surround and drown. So Jess, which one was your favorite?
Well, I would have an easier time choosing a favorite if I thought any of the three of them had a strong grasp on the concept of a Rob Has a Podcast app soundbite. Mm-hmm. And it was really kind of tough to make a call. I think they all three lost points on this round.
Haley?
Oh, 100% agree. I think everyone across the board in the women's and men's competition lost points on this, except Tasha. It kind of showed, well, Spencer was trying to show his Rob has a podcast, Knowledge, it kind of showed that he didn't listen to the Miss Survivor debate, because if he would have, maybe he would have realized what the question actually entailed.
Yeah.
And it's trying to spout out knowledge. It kind of made him look not as prepared.
And I mean, well, I think we talked a little, you know, people have talked about how Jeremy didn't really get involved with RIGP before, and he's talked about how he's a fan, but I mean, he is the one that was really touting stuff about Miss Survivor. I mean, when I was wrapping things up, he even brought up to me on the podcast, like, when do we give out the hashtags? Like, that's something that was really, individual hashtags were only for Miss Survivor. So it's very clear that he listened to it. And I think I don't think it's said enough how much of an RHAP fan he was. I don't think he was, you know, he's not throwing out references, to the right and to the left, but I think he still listens to the podcast a lot, and he's a big fan, and it's clear that he definitely, to quote Mike Scoopin, did his research. Though again, I'll say his soundbite might not have been the cleanest thing, considering it was like 20 words long.
But no one's was good. Like, it was just like no one's going to use any of those.
Is there any like the Miss Survivor debate that we can combine to make a new soundbite out of?
No. Like, I was just disappointed overall.
All right. So we might have to retcon that entire idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep shots fired F-bomb, but we might not include any Mr. Survivor sound bites in our personal thing. Though, interestingly, yeah, I believe Jeremy and Tony have already made the Rahap app soundboard in one way or another. So they're set. Spencer's the one that's really missing out here.
Yeah, I really want to see Spencer step up his efforts to make the Rahap app soundboard.
Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting part, and I actually think it was only brought up, I believe, in this debate, but I think it should be brought up every debate, honestly. It's the, like, each Mr. Survivor contestant got to ask each other a question, which I thought was very, very enjoyable. I believe Tony asked Spencer, who do you think is more worthy of the title, a person who does better in the game or a person who, like, promises the world and back? Jeremy asked Tony if he ever watched RHAP. Then Spencer asked Jeremy why... Spencer did he tried to trap him by saying, Jeremy, why do you endorse me as Mr. Survivor? And then he held the phone up to the camera, and he played the clip from Jeremiah of the aforementioned campaign video where he said, Jeremiah said, my name is Jeremy Collins, and I sponsor Spencer Bledsoe for Mr. Survivor 2015. And I think it took, maybe because the screen was blurry, we didn't really have much of an idea what was going on until Spencer explained it. So it was a little bit of a chaotic segment, but I got to say, I enjoyed it overall. I don't know. Haley, what did you think about these questions? And specifically, what did you think about the whole Jeremy false statement controversy?
I definitely liked this idea for a question of getting the contestants to ask other contestants questions. I didn't really understand, because I was listening to the audio version, I didn't quite understand what was going on at first when Spencer was playing it. I thought Spencer was just doing a bad impression of Jeremy. When it clicked what happened, I thought it was a super cute idea, though.
Jess, what did you feel about Tony threw out opposite worlds and whodunit references, which is the last thing I would probably expect Tony to do aside from, I don't know, sing opera. Did you enjoy Tony's random references to those two shows?
I only enjoyed it because 3 seconds later, they dropped a whodunit reference on him that went totally over his head.
Yeah, it was the Lindsay thing, right?
Yeah, and he was like, what? And I feel like maybe he just dropped those references in just to kind of butter up the tabulator.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he realizes the tabulator only tabulates. He has no say in who wins.
And theoretically, if he's talking about shows that Kurt cursed, Kurt might be able to curse their votes as well.
Yeah, I don't think Kurt Clark can be bought. I'm just saying.
No, they talked about that with Tasha. I think unless he's currently coming to us from the Cayman Islands, I do not think he's been bought yet.
Yeah, if he took the voting urn and like ran off on a jet ski.
Well, Dalton Ross would love him a little bit more.
That's true.
So, Haley, how do you feel about Spencer's response that he will not shave his head if he receives the Mr. Survivor belt to be in solidarity with his other two compatriots?
Sometimes you just gotta stick to your guns, and I think it was better for Spencer to give give the truth and maybe disappoint a few people, then lie and say you'll do something and then not follow through.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. I just thought it'd be funny to have, you know, three cue balls.
I don't think he has the head shape to support baldness.
I also feel like Spencer might be like a Chia Pet or a troll doll, and that if you shave off all his hair, it'll like immediately spring back like a cartoon character.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think I we might have to test that out one day.
I do not think the boy has the right head shape to pull off the shaved head.
That's true. We'll never know until we try, though. I'll put this other question to Jess. So we saw that both Tony and Jeremy have been blocking off emergency calls and texts, and I mean in a literal term, emergency, to be on the Miss Survivor debate. How guilty do we feel as Rob has a universe for possibly risking people's lives to have a cop and a firefighter on a debate to talk about Mr. Survivor?
I feel bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it is a level of dedication that Spencer can't even aspire to, but I would feel really bad if someone died because they weren't getting the emergency services they requested.
Yeah, I think if anyone died on their watch, I think this would be the moment when we say maybe this competition is a little too serious. So I don't know if you guys saw this on the video version, definitely not on the audio version, but Spencer actually produced a photo of young Tony on his phone. This competition was a lot of people holding up their phones to the camera, which probably did not make for the best video podcasting, but you know, what can you do? Were you guys able to see when Spencer tweeted that picture out?
I saw a screenshot of it. Yeah,
I did not see the screenshot.
It is glorious. Just how can you have any way you can describe this picture to Haley?
I really can't. It defies description.
It looks a little bit like a little bit like The Rock, except with like a goatee.
I gotta say, it's a little bit babely.
Yeah, he's shirtless and he is showing off his pecs, and the great
is
thing
he showing off the cougar tattoo.
Yes. Yeah. And his head looks like weirdly tiny for his body, though.
It does.
Is it one of the ones that's on his website?
I'm not sure. This picture seems to be like a kitty corner picture, so maybe it's like a Polaroid that he took a picture of. Tony also has hair in this, which is very interesting. It's not a lot of hair, but it's not the bald Tony that we're used to seeing.
He appears to be kind of more hirsute in general.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I like in the screenshot below the picture, it's Tony and he's texting, "Youth, the most amazing thing, LOL."
LOL indeed.
But I guess we can segue a little bit from some phone talk into one of the main talks from the Mr. Survivor debate, which is TextGate. Now I know it was a little hard to understand it in the audio version. I'm sure you guys had trouble deciphering the words, so I'm going to try my best to explain this to you, because I was a little intrigued by it as well. I actually think, you know, the video was stuck on me at one point, and I think there's a split second you can catch on the video podcast of me with my eyes wide open and just like pure WTF-ness looking at this. So Tony, Spencer quote unquote texted Tony, and you can tell because the name at the top of the text conversation is Survivor Spencer.
That's legit. Absolutely. Sounds legit.
It's extremely legit. And basically they had one of their typical fireside chat conversations, and it seemed like Spencer was crapping on his fans. I forget some of the things he said about how, like, you know, I outwitted 7 people, now I'm gonna outwit 1700 people, and the text seemed to make it believe that Spencer was really not grateful for his fans, and that he was not, you know, he didn't really like his fans. And I gotta say, Spencer was very, very bewildered by this, and I think he might have been a little angry about it as well.
Yeah, that's kind of just throwing him under the bus when it's not really, like, fair to do so.
And it doesn't even make sense. Like, the allegations kind of, like, given everything that Spencer has done for the fans, I can't see him just doing it to mess with them. you know?
Yeah. I mean, it also doesn't help that this is coming from the same guy who, you know, hate tweeted Stephen Fishback one night to wipe the S off his glasses and then completely retroactively went back and said, oh, no, my friends did it. So, I mean, this is not the most reputed source to trust.
Exactly.
And of course, it was not to be trusted at all. Tony later told Scott St. Pierre and I, as soon as we got offline, that it was a fake. And he went on to then, I think he went to like call Spencer and record something as an apology, and Spencer published it as well. And I think Tony was texting with his wife, and he made his wife give those responses, and then he changed his wife's name in his phone to Survivor Spencer to make it look like Spencer had did it. So this is like an Ocean's 11 job to throw Spencer under the bus. I would love to hear your reactions to this, Jess.
It comes off a little desperate. I gotta say, he seems like he's scrambling. I think he's afraid.
Haley, what do you think?
I think it's desperate and dirty. Like, it's just unnecessary. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the podcast, where it's just like, at what point is it just like, okay, guys, like, we're adults here.
Yeah, it's tough. And I completely agree that it goes back to what we were talking about being serious. And I mean, granted, again, this is the same guy who hate tweeted Stephen Fishback about wiping the S off his glasses. He was hate tweeting Cass the entire time during their season. He's fired off against, you know, haters online when they responded to him in the time he was really active after Cagayan. I feel like this is definitely in line with Tony's behavior. That being said, I know a bunch of people that this really turned them off on Tony. I think they were... I think they were definitely getting excited with how entertaining Tony was, and he was certainly very bombastic in the debates. But I think after this happened, and especially it came out as being fake and a way to kind of throw muck at Spencer, I think it really turned people off against Tony.
Yeah, he was doing all right up until that point.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I gotta point out also the requisite international question. Now, Haley, as our international expert, did you enjoy some of the answers that our Mr. Survivor contenders gave as to whether they would bring the RHAP name abroad?
I feel like none of them even touched on my wonderful homeland.
No, it was all about Europe.
Yeah, what is this European demographic?
I don't know. Well, Spencer's going there, and I think that's where the impetus.
That's fair.
So that's where the impetus of the question came from. In my effort, I tried to extend it to appeal to all three of them, but I don't think either Jeremy or Tony were biting with the idea of like, you know, doing RHAP stuff overseas,
except in Jamaica.
Yeah. So I think this is a good plea for you to really get them to come north. Then just say like, hey, you don't need to fly anywhere. Just drive north. You can party up with us and Jet and Dave.
Yeah, from Chicago, from New Jersey area, from Boston area, it is a quick, cheap flight to Buffalo. You just cross the border there, and from there, it's only 2 hours from Toronto. You're in Niagara. There's so much in that area. So many Rob Has a Podcast fans. I think they're really missing the Canadian market. Like we've said, over half of Rob's audience is from Canada. So like, why wouldn't you try and, you know, appeal to those people?
Well, maybe we'll end up doing a Mr. and Miss Big Brother, and maybe we can include Big Brother contestants from that as well.
That would be great.
Peter Brown, Mr. Big Brother 2016.
Oh no.
Yes. I'd love to hear a podcast of just Peter Brown talking me at all day with that melodious voice.
I want to hear Peter Brown's cooking podcast.
It's like the next Julia Childs.
Today we're gonna make Kraft dinner with ketchup on it.
And a nice no salad, just chicken fingers. So you guys have any more comments you'd like to talk about from the debate in general? I have a couple of questions from the RHAP community that we can move on to if you'd like.
No, I think we should move directly on to the questions.
All right. So here's an interesting one from Luciness. I don't even know if it's a question, but I think it'd be good. Luciness suggested it to see if we can compare our three Miss Survivor candidates with our three Mr. Survivor candidates, specifically in the manner they performed in the debate. Luciness went ahead and compared Tony and Natalie, Tasha and Jeremy, and Spencer and Kelly. Do you guys
Oh, sorry. You finished.
No, I was gonna say, is that do you guys feel that sound, or would you like to switch any around?
No, I think that's exactly what I would say. Both Tasha and Jeremy were surprises in the competition. And we were both weren't expecting a whole lot because we didn't really see their interest beforehand. But once they got into the competition, they really blew us away. Pony and Natalie, they both didn't really do their research and were just kind of resting on the fact that like their campaign was, I won, vote for me. And Kelly and Spencer, they were kind of the favorites going into it. And I feel like they both might have let us down in the debates. Like they, like Spencer didn't keep, wasn't able to keep up like we thought he was going to be able to. And I thought Kelly was the more low key option.
Jess, these three teams are in the final leg of the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Which one will do the best?
Oh gosh. Well, if it's Amazing Race we're talking about, I'm going with the teams that are their entire platform is all about winning.
So Tony and Natalie?
Tony and Natalie, yeah. But I really think that there's more, there's something to be said for the super fan angle, and there's also something to be said for the coming out of nowhere and blowing us all away with your impressive level of dedication. So I think everyone's got something to be proud of here.
What would be a good final challenge for these three teams on a leg of the Amazing Race?
I think we should go back to our Rob Has a Podcast trivia challenge that we have previously pitched.
Yeah, I think that'd be good as well, and I'll again advocate for it.
Final leg memory task, bitches.
Because I think because I think that if you know this what might have been an opportunity if this had happened for Spencer to kind of show off his prowess even more, and in other spots where he may have been losing in the debate, this would have been an area where he would have come out full force and said, I know this, though. Jeremy has shown a little bit of knowledge as well, so he could have done well too. Here's another question from Rulauville, and I'm sorry, I completely butchered that. This is a really interesting question. As podcast hosts who have worked on RHAP for a while, how important is it to take into account the Mr/Miss Survivor's candidate style and how it meshes or contrasts with the main man himself, Rob? So I guess the question is, you know, would we rather have a Miss and Mr. Survivor who will kind of mesh well with Rob and just kind of, you know, sit there and, you know, shoot the S with Rob? Or would we rather have someone to kind of combat him a little bit and challenge him on some things? I'll go to you first, Haley.
I think it speaks to how good Rob is that any combination would be great with Rob. I'd love to hear from any of them. They'd all give great interviews for very different reasons. I think an interesting way to look at it is who would mesh well with us, per se. Like you guys might know, we had Kelly on our podcast talking about The Bachelorette, and we felt that she meshed very well with us. I wonder if she would mesh well with, you know, maybe on PSR or something like that, or if, you know, a Natalie or Tasha or even a Spencer would mesh well with us on our podcast.
Jess, what do you think?
I think that's a very interesting point that Haley's making. I like the idea of trying to gauge the chemistry of not just Rob, but of Rob's entire podcasting family.
Yeah.
Because we really want Mr. and Miss Survivor to be one of us in a very real way. And I want to make sure that they're willing to engage with everybody that's on the network.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, I know there's at least been a couple of them who have reached out to myself and a few of the other co-hosts as well. But I think especially, again, if we move forward with this Spencer Bledsoe initiative of, you know, having former survivors come on and do more, you know, non-survivor podcasts with other people, I think that can completely ring true to this.
I'm just going to say nobody has reached out to me because nobody cares about the Amazing Race, including apparently the person that was on the Amazing Race.
Oh, pshaw, Jess. Everyone loves you except for one blonde country singer and her pacemaker-laden husband.
With a really bad chest tattoo.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, suck my kneecaps and you get my vote.
All right, guys, anyone who's listening, you know what to do now.
Just tweet us that we're pretty and we'll vote for you.
There you go.
Or bring us some authentic Tim Hortons and we'll be good to go.
Tim Hortons.
So to finish off before Jess goes into a donut coma there, I'll go back to our question from the Miss Survivor podcast as a way to wrap this up from Ariel Kalish Glassman. Let's each pick the Mr. Survivor candidate that we feel is going to imbue best one of the following qualities. These are the pieces of criteria that we listed through last time. So we'll each pick one name. We'll go rapid fire, first name off the top of your head that you think best possesses this quality. So we'll start with preparedness. Haley, who do you think was the most prepared of the three?
Jeremy.
Jess.
Jeremy.
I'm actually going to take a little bit of a dare deviation and go with Spencer. As much as he might have floundered a little bit in the debate with not knowing what the Rehap app is and, you know, what the, and he didn't, he might have missed the Miss Survivor references. I think he still threw a lot of RHAP references throughout his campaign. And I mean, the fact that he made that reference to one of the moments from the 1K episode, that's like a super throwback moment, is something to be said. So I'll do Spencer. Let's go with creativity. Jess.
Spencer.
Haley.
Spencer.
Yep. I'll do Spencer as well. Yeah. I think it's between his talent, even though it might not have succeeded, his videos are really, really top notch. You really have to give it up to him for that. Wit/cleverness, Haley.
I'd have to go with Jeremy.
Jess.
Haley keeps stealing my answers.
Well, it's Jeremy. Jeremy, I'll go with Jeremy as well. I'll say it again. I think he really impressed me in this debate with his ability to fire back, especially in the force of a hurricane like Tony. Entertainment value, Jess.
I'm going to Spencer.
Haley.
I'd say overall probably Spencer too.
Yeah, give me Tony. I know he might have drew people the wrong way with that, with the whole Texgate thing, but I mean, I gotta give it up for the guy who gave me his own Vlachos-esque nickname. So I'm gonna go with Tony on this one. Last but not least, let's you know, lock in our ballots here. Who is going to win Mr. Survivor 2015? Jessica Lease.
Spencer is still an unstoppable juggernaut.
Haley Strong.
I would agree. No one has a chance against Spencer.
I will be the contrarian again for entertainment's sake. As much as I do enjoy Spencer and I think he's run a great campaign, I'm going to go with Jeremy on this one. I think, like Tasha, he has exceeded a lot of our expectations coming to this, and I would love to see him win. The three candidates are great in their own individual ways, but Jeremy has really, really impressed me. So, any final comments on the Mr. and Miss Survivor games overall?
Well, I just want to wish all the candidates a lot of luck in the final stages of voting, and everyone should be more or less proud of their campaign, except those of you that played dirty, and you should be ashamed.
Haley?
I think this has been a really fun race, and I hope this sets a high standard for future Mr. and Miss Survivor competitions.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, these people keep promising that even if they won't win, they'll come back. I really hope that's the case. I think we ended up picking six very, very entertaining people. There have not been any duds in this competition thus far, and it's been a lot of fun. I was very lucky and happy that, you know, despite all the technical difficulties, I got to dive in and work with the guys last night, and it's been fun talking with you guys as well to really break this all down. I think only in the Rob Has a Podcast atmosphere would we do an hour and a half podcast about a 54-minute debate.
It's about par
for
the course.
To be fair, we talked about all the interviews too.
That's true. So I guess it totals up to, you know, like a little less than even. So if you guys want any sort of commentary, you can play this as you loop the Mr. Survivor debate and interviews over and over and over again. All right, let's do. Well, actually, before we really wrap things up. So, Mr. Survivor voting is officially open. It has been for the past few days. So now that you've listened to this podcast, and if your undecided votes have been resolved, or if you're ready to vote, you can do that. There's a link on robhasawebsite.com. It's in any of the Mr. and Ms. Survivor posts. Though I think there's an official post about it as well. Or I believe you can go to MissSurvivor.com and the link will be there as well. The polls will close on Saturday at midnight. And then I believe the big reveal show is probably going to be Monday or Tuesday of next week, presumably because Survivor Worlds Apart is going to start on Wednesday. So things are coming to a close, but hopefully people will be able to listen to this before Saturday and the polls close. So let's finally finish up now with let's throw out some Twitter handles and let's throw out any current or recently finished projects that you've been working on. I'll start with Jess.
I'm just now wrapping up my second podcast of the evening. Earlier tonight, Rob and I sat down and previewed the cast of Amazing Race season 26, and you can find that on the homepage at robhasawebsite.com. And you can always find me on Twitter at HeyMakerHattie.
And you'll be blogging for both Rob Has a Website and I'm trying to remember the other.
Previously.tv is the other site that I blog for. And this season, I'm going to be not only recapping Amazing Race for them, but I'm also recapping Survivor.
Fantastic. We got double duty for Miss Jessica Lees with blogging. Or I guess triple duty if you count Rob as a website.
Yep. Three blogs and a podcast every week. Whew. Three blogs and two podcasts, hopefully, because I'll do a wrap up with a former racer whenever I can get one.
Awesome. Haley, let's hear a Twitter handle and any projects you're working on.
So you can find me on Twitter at @hstrong_. I write a weekly blog about The Bachelor, and I write about other things too. Depends on what you're interested in. So you can find that at haleystrong.wordpress.com. I do a weekly podcast here on the Rehap Up Network with Amy, and we talk about The Bachelor. And last week we actually had Survivor Randy Bailey come on with us, good friend of me and the podcast. So that was a fun show as always. So you can check those out.
Awesome. So you can find me at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter. Rob and I recently just finished our coverage of The Celebrity Apprentice. It had its big season finale Monday night. So we covered every episode of the show this season. Also on here on Reality TV Rehap Ups, I did a round table finishing up this past season of Top Chef with Josh Wigler, Kirk Clark, and Antonio Mazzaro. And that podcast went as off the rails in a goofy way as you could possibly think with the combination of the four of us. And over on Post Show Recaps, we are going to be starting Once Upon a Time again in a couple weeks, so that Kurt Clark and I will be bringing forward that coverage again on April 1st. In the meantime, I think Josh and Antonio and I are going to do a little wrap-up of Parks and Recreation next week after the series finale, unfortunately. And who knows? Depending on how the cards lay, you might see some more big post-show recaps coverage with myself and possibly one of the people on this podcast. So you just,
oh, I wonder who that could be.
you might have to. It's me and Cat Dog. We're going to be covering some great
cat dog.
So lots of good stuff coming up. We're getting into the meat of the reality and scripted TV season, which is exciting. So to finish off this marathon, let's put our brains together and let's come up with a hashtag.
Hashtag Mr. Survivor Cat Dog.
All right. You co-signed that, Haley?
So late at night.
Millennials are going to be so happy about this now. And anyone who grew up before then could be like, what the hell?
How the hell did Cat Dog go to the bathroom?
That'll be our first.
That's a different podcast. That's a whole.
That's going to be our. That'll be our first item to discuss in the Miss and Mr. Survivor debate reaction shows 2016. I promise. That'll be the very first thing we discuss.
I'm holding you to that.
So hashtag Mr. Survivor, MR Survivor, Cat Dog for making it this far. Thank you guys so much for listening. Haley and Jess, thank you for coming on and doing this with me. This is the most meta Rob as a podcast has probably ever done. We are a podcast about a podcast, and who knows, maybe we have started a trend here today, but this has been a lot of fun.
Yes, it certainly has.
All right.
Thank you for putting it together.
Of course. So good luck in the voting, guys. Again, polls will close on Saturday at midnight. Things should be revealed hopefully on Monday or Tuesday. Until then, remember #MrSurvivorCatDog for making this far, and take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.